from tranquil, sparkling blue lakes to the bustle of multicultural Toronto and the thunderous roar of Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada is home to iconic cities, breathtaking natural wonders, and pristine wilderness. Discover your next adventure in Ontario. Book your Ontario holiday with Canadian Affair at canadianaffair.com/Ontario.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
Oh, 4 minutes after 12, Thursday, Mystery Hour. Oh, what a happy relief. Your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio dial. We've also got, of course, the opportunity to win your own Mystery Hour board game. Incredibly fun. And a gift from me to you if you are responsible for the finest contribution of the week. My decision is final. I am, in this context, the management. And you can find the full terms and conditions at lbc.co.uk. Otherwise, you can buy it, actually. I'll tell you how you can get hold of your own copy shortly. But before all of that, I need to remind you how this works. Someone rings in with a question and someone else rings in with an answer. Somehow, that relatively simple premise, coupled with my natural gift for banter, creates an environment in which magic can happen. We had one of my favourite Ray Liotta's of all time last week. In fact, it's such a favourite, I've still got my dog whistle with me. That does it, I think. Did we cover everything? Terms and conditions, get it. Oh, mysteryhour.co.uk if you want to get your hand on the game. If you're not quite sure what I'm blabbering on about at the moment, then just stay tuned, all will become clear. All I would say, if you are new to the programme, is that, or this feature of the programme, is it's not really like the other 14 hours of the week that we spend together. Shall we crack on? Yes, we shall. I've done that. I've said terms and conditions at LBC. I've done this before. Ollie's in Exeter. Ollie, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on, Ollie.
The other week you mentioned your rucksack.
Did
in
I?
Passing.
What, my new one?
Oh, I don't know if it was new or, yes, or the old one.
Well, I've got a new one.
Oh.
It's very nice. It's by a company called Troubadour. I don't know if you've come across them. It's very recyclable. It's so recyclable that I think I understood correctly, Ollie. It's got a sort of permanent guarantee on it.
Wow.
Isn't that nice? Anyway, I digress.
What's the ruck that you use your sack for?
Pardon?
It's a rucksack.
It is a rucksack. I know this.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. And so would you if you had the German. You haven't got the German, have you?
I have not.
If you had the German, you would know.
Oh.
So ruck in German is back.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh.
So it is.
My daughter, sorry.
No, you carry on.
My daughter was in America recently and she went to reception to get her rucksack.
Yes.
And the guy had no idea what she meant. He goes, "What's a rucksack, Mom?"
Welsh, was he? Sorry. I do that joke every single time someone does an accent on the programme. However good it is. Backpack, is it, in America? Backpack.
Everywhere else, I think.
Dora the Explorer. English. Except Germany. I bet it's a rucksack in Germany. So literally, rucksack is back sack.
Right.
So all that's missing is... Okay, no, nothing. I'm going to give myself a round of applause for that. Qualifications, I think someone's asked me before. Or do you know, I may even have looked it up when I bought my rucksack. Thank you, Ollie. Take care. 7 minutes after 12 is the time. Dora the Explorer, of course, responsible for backpack. And we won't go down the other little linguistic road that I opened up a moment ago. Dave's in Moulton. Dave, question or answer?
Question, James.
Carry on, mate.
Big fan, listen every day.
Thank you, mate.
Except for the past 2 days, and it's your fault.
Why, what's happened?
You put me on to Gary Stevenson.
So you've been... Oh, well, this is the problem with me being so generous in my praise.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Well, anyway, you're back now.
To the audio book.
You're back now.
Anyway, back now, back in the room.
Well, you're ruck now.
Yeah.
No, doesn't quite work. Rucken. Rucken is the word for back. Rucken, sacken, rucksack. Back, sack, and
well,
everybody's
well
happy.
Rucked.
Carry on.
Well, rucked.
Well done, Dave.
You know when you use nail scissors?
Yeah.
You know the ones that are curved at the end?
Yeah, I need a trim, actually.
And you use... When I use them with my right hand, I use the scissors in my right hand.
Yes.
On my left hand nails, I can cut them all out.
Yeah.
But when I use my left hand on the right-hand ales, they all split and fray. It doesn't cut properly.
Yeah.
And it's a mystery because it's the same pair of blades.
Yeah, but you're right-handed.
It shouldn't matter.
It's a bit like saying when I write with my left hand, why is it all over the place? And when I write with my right hand, it looks all neat and tidy.
No, I'm fairly skilled. Fairly skilled with both hands.
You're not, though, are you? You can't. You're not ambidextrous. If you were ambidextrous, you wouldn't have this problem.
No, I'm not bad. I'm not bad with both hands because I can use a mouse with both hands.
Yeah, but you can't write. You can't. Go on, write bits now with both hands. I'll be able to tell which one is your right hand.
Well, I know, yeah, but, you know.
That's it. What do you think the answer is? You think they might be right-handed scissors?
No, I think it might be something to do with the curvature of the blade.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The angle.
All right. Well, I have the same problem as you, and I use the clippers.
You have the same problem with clippers?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's got nothing to do with the curvature of the... I use the clippers. You know the ones I mean, where you fold up the arm and then you turn it. And I do, if I'm using my right hand, I can clear. In fact, you can probably tell.
Yeah.
No, you can't actually. I might go for a manicure. Have you ever been for a manicure?
No, I haven't.
I think we should start going. We should be a bit more cosmopolitan, shouldn't we, Dave?
I think a manicure might be. Can't afford it, James.
Well, no, this is very true, actually. That is a luxury.
Manicure's the first thing to go.
You should see the state of my feet, Dave. Honestly, that's how you can tell there's a cost of living crisis going on. And as Karen points out, you can't cut your nails with a mouse, Dave, so that doesn't really prove anything. But I use clippers, and it feels more comfortable doing my left hand with my right hand, and then I swap over, and it's because I'm 99% sure it's because you're right-handed, but I'm going to put it on the board. I'm going to put it on the board.
But it's the same blade.
I know, but it's the same clippers with me, and I'm worse with my left hand. It's like everything else. It's like playing snooker, left-handed versus you're going to be worse, aren't you?
We'll have a go.
I'll put it there. All right. Why does Dave struggle to cut his nails? The nails on his right hand when he's using the scissors in his left hand, but it could be that the curvature, he's got some of those fancy scissors with the curved blades. Does anyone want to have a go at that? Mark's in Bromley. Mark, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on.
It's either genius or ridiculous.
Uh-oh.
Now, if I take a tumble, I've fallen over.
Yeah.
If my 87-year-old mum falls over or takes a tumble, she's had a fall.
Oh.
So what's the difference? What are the criteria? When does falling over become having a fall?
Well, I don't think that is ridiculous. I think that is a good question, but I think we know the answer.
Do we?
Yeah. I think it's when you can't get up without help.
Well, you see, maybe. So if I'm drunk and I fall over and I can't get up on my own, have I had a fall?
Yeah, but that's not... No, you can't start changing the parameters of the question.
I think I can.
Excuse me, who invented this game and all the rules? Was it you or was it me?
Well, it was you.
Thank you.
Right, okay.
No, but you can't, because you could do that on everything. Because imagine if Dave changed his question then and said, oh, yeah, and I said, well, the reason why you cut your nails with your right hand and your left hand, and then he said, oh, yeah, but when I'm drunk, I chop my fingers off or something. You can't just bring drunkenness into it as a qualifying state for a question. Someone who struggles to get back up again has a fall. Yeah. You've had a fall if you struggle to get back up again.
Really?
It's got to be.
No, there's more to it than that.
Well, of course there isn't. There's nothing to it except that. I'll put it on the board, but they're not even technical. Well, you're welcome. But they're not even technical terms, are they? They're not medical terms.
I didn't say they were.
So who's going to be the judge then?
Well, I don't know. That's what I mean. It's either genius or...
Well, it's a nice question to which I provided...
It's ridiculous.
It's not. It's a nice question to which I've provided...
Thank you.
An almost perfect answer, which you've turned your nose up at.
Yeah, that's because it's Mystery Hour, not Challenge O'Brien, isn't it?
Well, I think we are thinking of a rebrand.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all.
I think you'll find the other 14 hours of the week a Challenge O'Brien, Mark. I like that. Falling over and having a fall. It's got to be something to do with the ease with which you get up. In fact, I very much doubt he's listening. But I met a lovely man yesterday who had had a fall, and the arthritis in his knee was so bad he couldn't get back up again. And I was we were walking the dog, and we came around the corner, and for a moment I thought that he'd had, I thought something worse had happened. I thought he'd had a heart attack or a stroke, and we obviously went to help him. Had to hoist him back up onto his feet. He said, I've just got arthritis so bad in my knee, I slipped over, I can't get back up again. So we got him back on his feet, and then I walked him to the bus stop. And just a lovely, lovely bloke, Brian his name was. And you know, little things, little interactions like that with people that you don't have ordinarily and you wouldn't have in normal circumstances, they have an effect upon you that is very hard to put into words. I guess that, you know, that old good deed for the day phrase or whatever it might be, but putting other people at their ease, particularly when they're having a tough time of it, is one of the nicest things you can do, I think, in the course of the day. So in the highly unlikely event that Brian is listening to this, I did check that you'd got off all right from the bus stop. I nipped back and watched you get onto the bus, and I hope you've had a better day today than you had yesterday, mate. It's 12:15.
Mystery Hour.
From tranquil, sparkling blue lakes to the bustle of multicultural Toronto and the thunderous roar of Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada is home to iconic cities, breathtaking natural wonders, and pristine wilderness. Discover your next adventure in Ontario. Book your Ontario holiday with Canadian Affair at canadianaffair.com/Ontario.
Got a chip? Organise a repair yourself with Autoglass. Done in minutes. Easy. Enter your reg, tell us where, select the day and time, and we'll make your windscreen strong again. If you're insured, a repair could be as little as a tenner, or sometimes even free. We work directly with most insurers and handle the claim for you, so you don't even have to call them. Plus, you keep your no-claims bonus. Don't wait for that next pothole. Go direct to autoglass.co.uk.
Autoglass repair. Autoglass replace.
On LBC with James O'Brien.
18 minutes after 12 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where Mystery Hour continues. Questions that still need answers. I've done the rucksack one. Well, I'm pretty sure, Dave, there are left-handed scissors. Ergo, Dave's nails question isn't as interesting as mine. Because have you got left-handed clippers as well? How would that work? They're perfectly symmetrical. So that's just me. But that's me being right-handed. So obviously I'm going to wield my clippers better with my right hand than I am with my left hand. But Dave's got fancy scissors with a curved blade. So why is he shredding his fingernails on his right hand, but doing a lovely job like a professional manicurist on his left hand? What's the difference between falling over and having a fall? Is that it? I've only got three written down. He's like, oh, I should talk less, shouldn't I? Eileen is in Barnet. Eileen, question or answer?
It's an answer to Dave.
Well, carry on, Eileen. Come on.
It's because the scissors for left-handed are cut a different direction.
Right.
You have to buy special scissors, left-handed scissors, if you want left-handed scissors.
Qualifications?
I'm left-handed, and I've got some left-handed and right-handed scissors.
Why?
I can't answer that, James.
No, well, that's why it's mystery. Why have you got two? Why do you need
two? I mean, to be honest, yeah. I do...
Oh, because you cut with both hands.
Yeah, I do laminating sometimes for my daughter for schoolwork for her.
Oh, nice.
And I bought some left-handed ones. Although I'm left-handed, I use my right hand always for doing cutting with scissors.
Can you describe to me the difference between the left-handed scissors and the right-handed scissors?
They look exactly the same, except the blade.
Yeah.
The blade that you cut with is cut by the makers the opposite direction.
I don't know what that means, Eileen.
No, and I can't describe it any other way. But when I went to
But don't both blades cut? Oh, it's the top blade and the bottom blade.
Yes, it's something to do with on it. It's cut the opposite direction if it's for left-handed.
So it's different from just having them upside down. They need to be engineered differently, don't they?
You have to buy it. Left-handed scissors, and I've got same pair. Looking at them, they look exactly the same, but there's a little label round one, and it shows a hand on it, and it shows you can't do it with your right hand.
It's
only for left-handed.
Well, I mean, you live and learn, so don't we know what's wrong with Dave then?
Yeah.
He's got right-handed scissors.
Yes.
But what's wrong with me? Because I use clippers.
I don't know anything about clippers because I don't use them.
Oh, all right. So it's a bit clippist. It's a bit clippist, Eileen. What have clippers ever done to you? You must be familiar with clippers. Clippers are completely symmetrical. There's no bias on the blades or anything. So
no, you could probably use them with either hand, probably.
Well, I struggle though. I struggle with my... Anyway, you've got yourself a round of applause, Eileen.
Oh, thank you.
Look at that. Lovely stuff. Sam's in York. Sam, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
Just wondering what happens to your stomach when you go over a hump in the road and why it doesn't always affect everyone every time.
I mean, I don't know. Hopefully the answer to the first bit of the question will include the second bit because there are technically two questions there. But you mean that kind of, we call it your tummy turning over when we're children, don't we?
Yeah. It's one of those great simple pleasures in life, especially when your dad taxiing the kids around and you kind of know there's a dip coming up in the road. So you have a little grin to yourself, speed up a bit and wait for the woo.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's quite a pleasant feeling when you're a child. It's like being dizzy, isn't it? You think it's fun when you're a kid, and by the time you're an adult, it just makes you feel ill. It makes you want to sit down.
I've noticed it differs every time. They go over the same dip, and sometimes the kids are looking, sometimes they're not. Sometimes it catches them out, sometimes it doesn't. So it's not the same every time.
Maybe, I mean, your body might be telling you to prepare for it sometime. I don't know. So we just want the physiological explanation of what's going on, and ideally a side order of why. It doesn't have any obvious evolutionary advantage, does it?
No, and it kind of differs whether you're in the front or the back, whether you're looking or not. That. Sometimes it catches you out, sometimes it doesn't.
You're on. What is going on when your tummy turns over? It's a humpback bridge is a good one for it, isn't it? It's a sort of up and down or a down and up rather than just a steep hill. It won't happen on. I don't remember. It happens on roller coasters? Does it happen on roller? I think it does. Sam, I like it. So we want to know what's happening when your tummy turns over, when you go over a humpback bridge. We want to know what the difference is between falling over and having a fall, although, frankly, Mark's scepticism notwithstanding, I think I knocked that one out of the park. Eileen certainly knocked Dave's question about nails out of the park, so we've done that. And the rucksack, quite a lot of you enjoyed that little exchange, although I think it may have gone over Ollie's head, which is just as well. But I do quite like the idea of people up and down the country shouting the word crack at the top of their voices for reasons that nobody around them would be able to understand. Thank you for getting in touch, particularly via WhatsApp, which you can, of course, 0345 606 0973, which you can, of course, use. So here's a question for you. Sorry, I'll get... Thank you, Sam. I'll get back to the phone in a minute. Here's a question for you. Someone has just texted the words Hugh Dalton to the programme. Now, either you have had Global Player on pause for a very long time, or your WhatsApp has gone doolally, or you've forgotten that you're listening to yesterday's programme, and we're actually now in the middle of today's programme. Because Hugh Dalton is the answer to a question I asked approximately this time yesterday when Natasha Clark was with us. And I said, what was the name of that Chancellor who actually had to resign because he'd leaked some details of the budget to the London Evening Standard? And I thought his name was George. So I got loads of suggestions. They were all hilarious. George Formby, George Foreman, George and Mildred. It was actually Hugh Dalton. And so someone, and obviously you won't be able to hear me, now, this is quite surreal. This is a bit like a kind of philosophical experiment. Someone's listening to yesterday's programme and sending in messages to yesterday's programme. And I'm currently presenting, if you hadn't noticed, today's programme. But I'm talking to them. This is like Star Trek or Red Dwarf or something. God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. This is... although Stephen in Milton Keynes probably deserves a round of applause for this. Very cross. I did do a hook and tease yesterday and I forgot to give you the answer. It's now, technically, it's not my job. It's my job to give you the answer, but I have at least two people on the team who are supposed to remind me when I say, I'll tell you after this, or I say, I'll let you know in a minute. I'm a lot better. And I'm sticking with it now. I'm sticking with it until I've actually changed on the inside. But I did forget yesterday. Ben in Exeter's just texted Hugh Dennis, which I think, but that came in at 12:24 as well. So it can't be a response to the Hugh... This is very weird. I didn't tell you how much a car costs extra. If you want to export a car to Canada, as a consequence of that brilliant trade deal Liz Truss signed and Kemi Badenoch is now bigging up, it's $3,000 per car, they reckon, on top of what you would have paid previously. So every export of a car to Canada, $3,000 more. So well done, everybody. And don't forget, please, that everybody knew exactly what they were voting for. Back to Mystery Hour. Ben's in Windsor. Ben, question or answer?
It's a question.
Carry on.
So, And forgive me, it's about as close to a motoring question as I think you'll let me get away with.
That's all right.
So when if a tree grows in a sort of open area, obviously all the branches grow out from the trunk in an organic way, fashion, yeah. Whereas drive down A roads, in sort of rural A roads, yeah. On the one side of the road, the other side of the road in the field, it's all sort of, you know, chaos and in there, you know.
What?
But on the road, the branches seem to be aware of creating a space for vehicles. And they, you know, they go over at lorry height. And there's no evidence of pruning. So my question is, does a tree kind of feel the movement of air and sort of realize that it's not it's a hostile environment for it to grow into that space where it would get
hit you by. See it more. You don't need to go on you don't travel by bus much, do you, Ben?
No,
because if you're on the top deck of a double decker bus, you see it really clearly.
Oh, with the plane trees in London.
Yeah, there's like half an arch, and it's not mirrored on the other side of the tree at all. So
exactly.
But doesn't that just answer your question?
Well, it's not pruned, so obviously, is it a natural? Is it what's the tree? What's happening in the tree?
So it must just stop growing. I mean, it gets okay. So it definitely is happening. There's definitely a relationship between the bus and the tree.
Absolutely, but it's like what's making it get sort of, you know, tailored around the space that
because it's not growing up. Is it growing to a certain point and then because it's not being knocked off as such, is it?
No.
And sometimes it's actually quite scary sometimes when they do hit.
Close.
They do hit.
Yeah.
No, and it does make quite a cracking noise. So maybe they are being, well, I don't know. Are they being snapped off? Are they eroding them? Does it just stop growing past a certain point because it learns that there's
the
no point?
Branches, and the lower branches on the roadside don't come out low, you know, they don't come out on that side.
Yeah. No, I think that's a brilliant question. We're flirting with the idea that trees are. Yes. Have you read The Lord of the Rings?
Yes.
So Tolkien was ahead of the game on this one, wasn't he? Were they called Ents? Ents, I think, comes up as a crossword clue quite a lot. They were the Ents. So the leaves get ripped off, probably.
And they feel that, obviously.
We shall find out. People's telling us this has come up before, Ben, which I don't worry about that. I've forgotten the answer, and it means that there probably is an answer. Otherwise, people wouldn't remember the question. So we shall find out what's going on with the trees. 0345 60 60 973 is the number you need. Andy's in Mill Hill. Andy, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
Right. So I bought a African grey parrot. About 5-6 months ago. Now, for the first
you're not bringing
months,
it back. You're not bringing it back, are you? God, sorry. Yes. For the first
so
what?
It was a chick when we got it.
Okay.
And after about 2 months, it started whistling. Now, the two whistles that it was using were the sort of standard wolf whistle, and I'm not very good at whistling, so I'm not going to do it now.
As in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the other one, you know when you're sort of calling someone over or trying to get their attention, you go, exactly those.
I've got my dog whistle with me, but you won't be able to hear my dog whistle down the road. Well, you're not a dog, but even your dog won't be able to hear my dog whistle because of the kilohertz on the radio. Sorry, I'm going off a bit of a tangent. Carry on.
I'm thinking, where did it learn that? And then I spoke to a friend in the States who's got an African grey as well, and they said, well, my parrot does exactly the same thing. So I'm thinking, is it instinctive in the parrot and we've learned from the parrot, or has the parrot learned from us?
Shut up.
Is that a weird one?
Well, the parrot started it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. How can we find an answer for that one?
Is
that too diverse and stupid?
It's one of my all-time favourite questions. I think it's a thing of beauty. I had no idea.
If you build it, they will come.
Thank you. I mean, what we're thinking is the chick's too small to have learnt it. And one's whistled in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And your mate in America's had the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
Does the parrot whistle like that naturally? In the same way that other birds do.
Exactly.
Which bird? Are you into birds, Andy?
Not really.
Well, why'd you
not
buy a parrot
anyway,
then?
Because the wife liked it. I mean...
Because I've got one. I don't know why I'm telling you this. I'm late for the news already, but I've got an app to record bird song, and I love it, and I'm a bit of an anorak with it. But because we live near the flight path, there's one near us that goes like this. It goes... And I can't.
Are they the green ones?
Tried and tried. It's not a parakeet. It's not a parakeet. Because I don't think it is. And I've tried and tried, and I cannot for the life of me get the little beggar on tape because of the planes going overhead. And actually, because of the parakeets around our way as well, going. But the what came first, the parrot or the wolf?
There we go.
I shall try and find out for you. I like that one a lot. I know it was your wife's idea in the first place, but have you grown close to the parrot?
I love it. It loves me, but hates her.
Oh, perfect, mate. That's absolutely perfect. 12:31 is the time. Amelia Cox has your headlines. And my name's Stan.
I'm Anne.
Nice to meet you.
So you took up photography when?
I've always loved photography, but I turned it into earning a living.
That's
at 60.
Yeah.
I enrolled on a day course.
Well, college?
Loved going to college.
It's good you can retrain and do something.
Yeah.
Let's talk about working, learning, saving and making the most of living longer. Phoenix Group is the UK's largest long-term savings and retirement business. Search Phoenix Group Living Longer.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
12:35 is the time, and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Quite a few questions still need answers. Andy's parrot, Ben's tree, Sam's tummy, and Mark's falling over, all on the board. Charles is in Sidmouth. Charles, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
So it's about what happens into your tummy when you go over a humpback bridge.
Oh, yes.
And I would like to liken this to, on a mini scale, to the training that the astronauts get when they go in a jet and they are flown in a hyperbolic curve and they experience weightlessness for a short period of time.
So I gather.
And then when they come out of the curve, they'll get increased G. So when we're going over that humpback bridge, we're getting naught G, i.e. weightlessness, for about half a second.
If that.
And then as you come out of it, you'll get increased G, maybe 2G for another half of a second. So how will your organs react? Well, I am a doctor, though I'm not a specialist in this area. But definitely when you're driving along on the flat, you've got 1G.
Mm.
And if you suddenly go to 0G, yes, things will move up because the gravity isn't holding them down anymore. So, and then when you come out of it, they will go down again. There will be a certain amount of movement.
So it's the suddenness of it. That's why it would happen on a humpback bridge, but not on a much steeper hill or a much longer gradient.
A longer gradient wouldn't do anything. It has to be kind of hyperbolic. It has to be, you can have it on any scale. The NASA astronauts are training, have got it on a very big scale, so they may be weightless for, say, 5 minutes. Whereas going over our humpback bridge, it's only going to be a short moment.
Well, there you go. And that your qualifications are just your medical qualifications. You don't have any particular interest in G-force.
No, none at all.
It's a perfect answer, Charles. Thank you so much.
All right, no problem.
A round of applause for Dr. Charles, please. How about that? So it's G-force. Man, that's cool, isn't it? Dean's in Shoreham. Dean, question or answer?
Good afternoon, James. I have a question.
Carry on, Dean.
I was watching the football on Tuesday night, and at the end of the game, it was about 10 o'clock at night by this time.
Yeah, you weren't at Woking, were you?
I wasn't. This was Ipswich v Bristol City.
I can tell by your cheery mood. Go on.
One of the players on the post-match interview accidentally swore. Not a major swear word, but a mild swear word. And the interviewer immediately was like, you know, very sorry about that. Hope, you know, if anyone was offended. And, you know, the usual
is it a B word? Was it a B word?
It was.
Okay.
Slang for genitalia, should we say.
Okay. No, that is quite interesting. Okay, go on.
And my question is that it's 10 o'clock, it's after the watershed. Had someone on a TV channel, you know, I don't know, BBC Two, ITV, whatever, said that word,
yes,
it would be, you know, it'd be acceptable. Cause it's after
in
the
a
watershed.
Drama, if it had happened in a drama, it wouldn't have caused any problems.
Yeah, or a comedy show or something like that. So my question is, what's the difference between, you know, broadcasting rules in sport and in entertainment that mean that you can say a word on a comedy show, but you can't say that word in a sports interview at the same time of evening?
What was he using it as a qualitative judgment on something that had happened, or was he talking about his testicles?
He was talking about how he'd worked his little socks off, shall we say.
Yes, okay.
In that context,
I think that the presenter was being cautious and that no one would have got into any trouble for that anyway, but that we have an almost reflex action as professional broadcasters to any use of profane language. I mean, I've got a dump button, which he wouldn't have there, so I just think that he would apologise for that anyway, because inside, in that moment, on live TV, he's not sort of thinking, oh, we're all right, we're post-watershed now. But if it was 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, I'd have had to wade in and apologise. So I think, because we look up Ofcom language, sometimes I do it to scare the producer, Dean, and flirt with the idea of pushing Ofcom regulations as absolutely as far as you can go, which is why I asked about testicles. I think it becomes more problematic when you're using it to refer to testicles than it is when you're just using it to refer to rubbish, when you're saying, oh, it was all a load of rubbish. But I would say, well, the qualifications professional broadcaster, brackets, allegedly close brackets, I would say that the presenter was just being cautious and there wouldn't have been any problem at all, particularly because it was after 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, because, I mean, you also see it when, if like a single fan is picked up by the microphone swearing, you know, that happens as well, and they apologise then.
I think you just, why have two sets of rules? Why not just behave all the time as if it's pre-watershed, and then you can't possibly go wrong? There's no downside to being overcautious, is there?
Absolutely.
So, are you accepting that, bearing in mind my qualifications as a professional broadcaster of 20 years, well, more than 20 years standing, although I've never done a football game?
James, who am I to doubt you?
Thank you very much indeed, Dean. I'll take my second round of applause of the day. But I will exclude myself, obviously, from the competition to win the Mystery Outboard game. Thank you, Dean. Watershed and testicles. Paul's in Thundersley. Paul, question or answer?
I have an answer for you, James, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, well, you don't sound it.
No, really
you do now.
Excited.
You do now.
I'm
that's better.
This has made my day. I've actually got an answer to a question.
Thank you. Go on, what have you got?
So it's to the tree question in relation to how it grows against the road. So as a tree grows, trees are reactive, so they will put more leaves on the side that has more benefit to photosynthesize, i.e. next to the sun.
Yeah.
When vehicles brush underneath them, they're obviously knocking the leaves off, so the tree hasn't got the ability to photosynthesize, so we'll put the leaves elsewhere. If the vehicles aren't frequent enough, then the trees might get the leaves might get knocked, but then the secondary thickening, because tree grows as they put on rings, that would then occur, and then they would require pruning. But if it's frequent, you'll probably get minimal growth underneath those areas.
Because I mean, it is a sort of form of intelligence, for want of a better word. It's just saying, well, why would we're not going to do that again, because it'll just get knocked off again.
Yeah,
or is it getting knocked off again and again and again and again and again?
Again and again and again.
And again and again and again. Right, yes. So the tree does at some point register not to put more effort into that zone. So if the bus route changed, then after a couple of years it would start growing back again, but not the next week.
100%.
I love that. I love that. Qualifications.
So I'm a senior environmental advisor for National Highways and a chartered horticulturalist and member of the Arboriculture Association.
Blimey. You love your trees then?
I do love trees.
Have you got a favourite tree?
I have actually.
What is it? Tell me.
Yeah. A Sequoia Dendron Giganteum.
Oh, you mean a species as opposed to an individual tree? Is that
it's like a giant redwood. But
and have you been to see them in America?
No.
Where have you seen it? Q.
In a book.
Is that it? You've never seen one in the bark?
No, I've seen like giant redwoods and things, but not proper giant redwoods like in America.
Yeah, not really giant.
We get them here, but
they've got one in Q, really, I think, giant. Haven't they?
They have, yeah, but it's not.
It's not very giant. It's not it is like red though. No, I mean, it's half there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. They're very, very beautiful trees.
There was something else I needed to ask you. What's air pruning? Are we talking about air pruning? Is that the official phrase? Is that the technical phrase?
It technically is, because it's brushing past and taking the leaves off.
That'll do. So. A round of applause for Paul. Not quite. Not a lot of people are thinking, because you did have quite a long list of qualifications, that some people would think that might get you a Ray Liotta, but a lot of people do your job, don't they? I mean, you're not the only. Several. Last week, we had a question about whistles, dog whistles, A bloke who rang in was the official archivist of the major dog whistle manufacturer in this country for the last 100 years. You're not on that level, are you?
Oh, all right.
No, there's no harm in it, mate.
Knocked me off my perch,
there's
Jen.
No harm in it. I've got two rounds of applause today. I didn't come close to getting a Ray Liotta. I presented this programme and I invented the Ray Liotta and I've never had one. So I'm just saying for the benefit of the tape that it's not... It's, you know, yeah?
Well, that has knocked me off my perch. I was excited.
What? You got a round of applause.
My whole life to get this Ray Liotta.
You're not going to get a Ray Liotta because you work for National Highways.
Worth a try.
Yeah, it was worth next time, eh? Next time, who knows?
Thank you.
It's 12:45.
And my name's Stan.
I'm Anne.
Nice to meet you.
So you took up photography when?
I've always loved photography, but I turned it into earning a living.
That's right, at 60. Yeah.
I enrolled on a day course.
What, college?
Loved going to college.
It's good you can retrain and do something.
Yeah.
Let's talk about working, learning, saving and making the most of living longer. Phoenix Group is the UK's largest long-term savings and retirement business. Search Phoenix Group Living Longer.
Get ready to enjoy unmissable Sky TV together with Netflix in one simple subscription. So you can watch award-winning shows like Succession, The White Lotus, House of the Dragon, The Crown, True Detective, The Last of Us, Stranger Things,
We've only got 30 seconds.
Oh, I'll skip to the best bit. It's never been easier with Sky Stream. There's no dish and you can cancel anytime. Start your 1 month free trial today at sky.com.
Requires Sky Ultimate TV subscription and broadband minimum speed 25 megabits per second, 31 pound per month after trial. New Sky TV customers only, 18 plus terms apply.
And my name's Stan.
I'm Anne.
Nice to meet you.
So you took up photography when?
I've always loved photography, but I turned it into earning a living.
At 60.
I enrolled on a day course.
What, college?
Loved going to college.
It's good you can retrain and do something.
Let's talk about working, learning, saving and making the most of living longer. Phoenix Group is the UK's largest long-term savings and retirement business. Search Phoenix Group Living Longer.
History Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
It is 12:48. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. We've done the rucksacks, we've done the nails, we haven't done the falling over, but we have done the tummy, we've done the tree, and I did the watershed, but we haven't done the parrot. So, appropriately enough, we've got trees and parrots. Parrots in a tree. And what one? And falling over. Or having a fall, but I don't think there's an answer to that better than the one I already gave, despite Mark's ingratitude, actually. I've said scepticism earlier, but I'm going with ingratitude now. 12:49 is the time. Time for a couple more questions, perhaps. Hassan's in Slough. Hassan, question or answer? Hassan. Is Hassan there? What's he done?
Question, please.
What are you doing?
So the question is...
Hang on, what was that long pause for?
I'm here.
You've still got your radio on, haven't you?
I didn't pause. I said hi.
You did, but you've still got your radio on, haven't you?
No, I haven't. No. It's off. I'm speaking to you.
Really? Just a massive delay on your line. I'll be quiet. You ask your question.
Cut out. No, I can't hear the radio.
Okay.
Let me switch off the engine.
No, it's all right. You don't have to switch off the engine.
No, I must say, before I ask the question, the poll was fascinating. What he talked about is... That's right. For you, I can do anything.
It's all gone weird now, hasn't it? Is that gone weird for you as well? Can we make sure Hassan's all right there? I decided like I was having a moment. Could be the technology. Paul's in Edinburgh. Question or answer?
It's an answer.
Carry on.
With the birds.
Yeah, the parrot. The parrot.
Yeah, well, parrots, parakeets and cockatiels.
Okay.
I've bred a lot of cockatiels, and it sounds like our, woof whistle, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But it's just the timbre.
Sound a bit distracted, Paul. Are you doing something else at the same time?
No.
Okay, carry on.
Yeah, so it's the timbre that they use that resonates with us, but it wasn't learned from parrots to humans. It's a natural sound.
So they make that noise. They do that and that. They do that in the same way that that another songbird sings the song they sing. It's just the song they sing. They've got a song to sing us.
Well, it's specifically the parrot family.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and they do that with chicks, and the chicks respond to it. And I know this just from breeding them.
And so they just do it. They don't hear it anywhere. It's just the noise they make.
It is the noise they make sometimes, but it's normally when the chicks need feeding.
Okay. And then,
It's to bring the chicks towards them. It does sound an awful lot like that.
Yeah.
African greys obviously pick up a lot of things from us.
But not that.
Yeah. No.
Qualifications?
In general, Petra for 10 years.
You still got it?
No, unfortunately not.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But you had a lot of birds in your pet shop.
Oh, yeah. They were my big thing.
Oh, look at that. Do you have any now? Do you have them? Do you keep one yourself as a pet?
Yeah, I've got three.
Have you really? Are they there now?
Yeah. They're in the bedroom.
Oh, lovely. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it takes all sorts, I suppose. I'm going to give you a round of applause, Paul. I was hoping you could get... We could get one of them to say something, but it doesn't really work like that, does it?
No, unfortunately not.
I love it.
And another thing to add on for the doctor that was saying about going over bumps.
Oh, yes.
He was right that your organs move, but the diaphragm that you use to breathe, that shoots up and falls down. And it gives you that sort of strange feeling. The diaphragm is definitely part of it.
Great work, Paul. Thank you, mate. And I love that. 12:53 is the time. Tony says, when you whistle, my dog goes mental. Well, I won't whistle again then. I promise. I've got a dog whistle here, though. See if that... we're going to give Hassan another go. Are you sure? I mean, that went... All right, Hassan's in Slough. Hassan, question or answer?
Question, please. I do apologise for the long delay.
It wasn't your fault. It's not your fault. Why are you apologising?
Well, it's the first time it's happened in the last 15 years that I've been ringing you.
Well, I could apologise to you, couldn't I? I could apologise because the first time it's happened in the last 15 years that you've been ringing me. I'm not apologising.
Okay, I won't apologise.
Question or answer? It's too late now, Hassan. You've already apologised. You're going to have to apologise for apologising.
Okay, I'll apologise for apologising.
That's all right, mate. No harm done. Question or answer?
Question, please. So the question is, before the invention of communication technologies such as the telephone or the telegraph, how did people book holidays abroad? So how would they book hotels or transportation before the invention of communications technology?
Letters.
But that would take a very long time, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Going abroad, they probably took about a few weeks.
And the rest. Depends where you're going.
Let's say from the UK to Europe or the Middle East.
You'd need an address, wouldn't you? Otherwise, you wouldn't know where you were going.
Yeah.
And therefore, you could write to that address saying, "I'd like to come and stay for a fortnight, please."
And so how would they get that address in the first place? There's no directory. There's no agency.
Ooh, you're a terrible one, you are, Hassan. Well, they would advertise in newspapers, which have been around since the 16th, sort of 17th, 18th century. Newspapers and magazines would advertise.
Yeah.
You'd say, available, nicely appointed room in a Riyadh in Marrakesh, apply to P.O. Box 34444, or write to the Riyadh, what's it? The Medina, America, and you'd write and you'd get a reply, and then you'd turn up hoping that everything had gone swimmingly and you'd just have your holiday.
Right, okay, that makes sense. So they would advertise through newspapers.
Well, what else could... I mean, to be fair, I've let you expand your question after I responded initially by it must be by post. If there's no other way, even before the telegrams existed, there's no other way to do it. It would have to be by post. You know, the mail boats would be going all around the world, wouldn't they?
Yes. Okay, that makes sense. So they'd have to plan well in advance then in order to
letters. Well, you would, yeah. You would. I mean, even in the early 20th century, if you read Agatha Christie, although telephones existed, an awful lot of business would be conducted by correspondence in things like, I think even in The Mousetrap, they make their bookings by letter.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. So this is your
suppose your fourth round of applause today.
Third, is it?
I'll make it fourth. Inflation.
Yeah. All right, you're on. Well, I can't really. I mean, we're short of time, so I'll leave it on the board. I can't take it, but I can't see what else the answer would be. I need to be quick as well, because I just want to play a little bit of something from the archive. I don't know if you remember, but Tony Green, the darts commentator and Jim Bowen's co-presenter on Bullseye, I accidentally announced his... Well, I didn't announce his death. I kind of talked about him as if he'd already died when he hadn't, and we corrected that in plenty of time, but he did actually pass away this week. And he's such a nice man, such a lovely, lovely man. I'm just going to play a little bit to mark his passing. He came on the show back in the day when we used to get away with all sorts of nonsense because we didn't have any listeners. Wouldn't get away with that now. What are you sniggling about?
Stop sniggling. Describe that.
Well, it's true. I used to get away with murder, she. Honestly, some of the stuff they let. I used to do a thing, right?
Yeah.
I'd eat a sweet. People would ring in and try and guess what the sweet was that I was eating.
What have I got in my mouth?
That's what it was called. It was called Beat the Sweet. Had a little theme tune as well.
Bring it back.
I don't think it would pass with the current management.
No, I don't think. Quite rightly.
Is it just a little moment for fans like me of the late now, but always great, Tony Green.
Treble 20, 60. Another treble 20, another 60.
And another treble 20. 180. Well done, Alan.
Second three, good start. Treble 20, 60. Another treble 20, another 60.
And another treble 20, 180!
Lovely that. Love to Tony's family as well, genuinely, because he brought a lot of joy to a lot of people. He really did. I think we're almost done for the day. Did you want a little bit of trivia? This is a lovely little bit of trivia for you. You remember we spoke to Sir William Blackburn, the chair of the Muslim War Memorial Trust, who had such great news in the budget yesterday. And he mentioned the gentleman that had founded the charity, that had founded the organisation. He is the father of someone that Sheila Fogarty knows well. Someone who I consider to be in the top five broadcasters in the country at the moment. It's Michelle Hussein's dad was the chap who started the movement to get a proper war memorial for Muslim soldiers. Isn't that
fantastic,
lovely? Yeah. One for the pub quizzes.
And she certainly is one of the best, without a doubt.
Exactly that. And that's it from me, really, for today. I've got a board game winner for you. I'm going to give it to Eileen. Eileen of the Blades. Scissors, Eileen. Eileen of the Scissors. She gets the board game this week. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on Global Player, the official LBC app, where you can also pause and rewind live radio. Download it now for free from your app store or head to globalplayer.com. Tom Sawbrick will be with you at 4, but now on LBC, it's time for Sheila Fogarty.
Thank you.